And our final speaker, Dr. Elizabeth Lewis-Michael, is in social medical sciences, or has a PhD in social medical sciences from Columbia University, and has been involved in breast cancer studies and epidemiological issues as an environmental epidemiologist for the New York State Department of Health since 1993. So I especially welcome you because there aren't very many of the environmental epi people here, so it's nice to hear your perspective.
I really appreciate being here today. I'm so glad I could come, and I'm glad some of you stuck it out to this last time slot. So is it just this that I'm clicking?
Yes, just right there.
Just very briefly, I want to say that I'm here really on my own today. My environmental epidemiology certainly has meant that I've learned about breast cancer epidemiology over the years, but I'm not here speaking for the New York State Department of Health today. I've had a personal experience with breast cancer that led me to the issue of breast density and believing that my voice could you know, serve a useful purpose in publicizing this issue. So just very briefly, I'm going to talk about the current state of knowledge about breast density epidemiology, review lay information on risk factors, cover some recent publicity and actions, just very briefly talk about current screening recommendations, and really the point of my talk is the importance of what women do not know and my recommendations for action. And really, it is a good combination of talks because this sense of the importance of knowledge in terms of actions, certainly is the theme of all three talks. So on a mammogram, fat tissue appears translucent, whereas connective and epithelial tissue are radiographically dense. And I don't know who my audience is here, so I'm covering some very basic things here that some of you may be very familiar with, others not at all. So I'm going to cover it quickly. But there's a variety of categorization schemes for breast density, and of course, in any scientific endeavor, that's a problem. Different studies are using different schemes, but the two basic classification schemes, one is just a percentage breast density, with the what's often called the extreme high density being 75% or more of the tissue on the mammogram appearing as dense. Of course, dense here, it shows up as white, and a tumor would also show up as white. In very simple language, it hides the tumor. BI-RADS is commonly used by radiologists. It's also a four-category scheme, but it's a bit more qualitative rather than quantitative. Certainly, how you quantify breast density is an important issue. Just very briefly, the history of causal research for breast cancer is like, you know, any other really difficult topic. We go through various phases of and real attention on different issues. I mean, there's certainly a continuum, but in the 80s there was a lot of attention to diet, fat, and obesity. In the 90s, I think we all heard more about our own endogenous hormones, our own exposure to estrogen. It was in the mid-90s that BRCA1 and BRCA2 were discovered. Physical exercise was a hot topic because it's obviously modifiable. And now, this is of course a continuum, but now we're hearing much more about exogenous hormone exposures, HRT, as well as chemical contaminants, and gene-environment interactions and epigenetics. The full complexity of the problem is really being attacked, I'd say, in research today like never before. And all through this period, there have been studies of breast density. One review that I've looked at said about 45 studies, at least that were good enough, that were referenced. This was about 2005. But way back in 1993, a review article basically stated the vast majority of case control and cohort studies have observed significant positive relationships between dense mammographic patterns and subsequent risk of breast cancer. That was 1993. Just by chance, the next quote is from 10 years later. Mammographic breast density may be the most undervalued and underused risk factor in studies investigating breast cancer occurrence. And a meta-analysis in 2006, percent mammographic density is one of the strongest quantitative markers of breast cancer risk. And I don't know who my audience is here, but I certainly, among the women I know, they certainly do not know this. These studies generally show a 4 to 6-fold increased breast cancer risk associated with high breast density. And the research also suggests that tumors in women with dense breasts are more aggressive tumors, and that's very important. So here's a very handy ranked list of risk factors. You know, it can get very complicated with risk factor research in terms of the numbers of risk factors and what they really mean, but actually seeing a review that tried to estimate relative risk was very helpful for me for this presentation. This is from The Lancet in 2005. The two top categories, we'll start with the first one, two first degree relatives, greater than 13 times the risk of breast cancer. Is obviously in the next one with over 5 for one first degree relative. They're, you know, that's reflected in the categories of BRCA1, BRCA2, other, you know, as yet undiscovered genetic family history factors. But the very next one is breast density. Also, this reviewer categorized it as an over 5. Usually in the literature, it's somewhere between 4 and 6. So high relative risk. Below that, we have previous benign disease, cancer in the other breast, agent menarche, the things that we're more familiar with. And just on a personal note, it was in a 2002 textbook of cancer epi that I realized the importance of this risk factor. I had done a breast cancer study in the 90s at work, but I wasn't paying attention to the breast density literature. And in 2002, from this chapter in this book, mammographically dense breasts, I really didn't know what it meant, but I made sure we put it on a list in a fact sheet that we produced. And so this is my second foray into the topic, really, and that was several years ago. The difference being that I was diagnosed with breast cancer in between. So you're probably wondering, well, what percent of women have high density breasts? This highest density category of more than 75% dense tissue. The best estimate I've found in the published literature is from Vermont Breast Screening Program. I think there are other states with similarly funded programs that do ask about or do keep track of breast density, but this is the one I've seen published, and the estimate is 8% of women in this highest category and 7% in the actual least dense, almost no density category. And the two middle categories are somewhat equal. Maybe we've got about 40% of the population above average and 60 below in terms of density. But this very high category is usually what risk is usually, when we say 4 to 6, we're usually comparing that highest category to that lowest category. And if you apply that 4-fold increased risk, which is somewhat conservative, to that 8%, you've got close to a 35% attributable risk, in the sense that I'm saying of all breast tumors, about 35% are diagnosed among women with this highest category of breast density. And in the literature, you'll see high attributable risk without a lot of numbers attached to it, but the most conservative I've seen is 25%. So it's certainly, I'd say, there's more work to be done to know what that number is. But. And then we've got more recent literature. This is work from Martin and Boyd. Boyd is in Toronto, I believe. And certainly quite a few of the articles are coming from him, from his group. There's now extensive evidence that mammographic density is an independent risk factor for breast cancer that is associated with large relative and attributable risks for the disease. So I'll just drop to the third bullet because I'm not seeing a lot of people going, no, this isn't true. Twin studies have shown that most of the variation in mammographic density is accounted for by genetic factors, and that's really important too. So, you know, the next question is, what about mammography? Mammographic sensitivity, or if we think of it in terms of the false negatives, estimates of the percentage of tumors not detected by mammography, these are the percent of tumors in dense breasts not detected by mammography range from 30 to 50%. Now, of course, this is a hard number to come by because we're trying to understand something that's hard to find. And how hard to find is it? And in which women is it the hardest to find? So that's why the wide range there, and that range could even be expressed as a greater range than that. It could be above 50%, I'd say. So a researcher in 2008, I'm quoting, but this is certainly something I agree with. It is possible the performance of mammographic screening would be improved if it is targeted at women at higher risk of breast cancer or who are more likely to have their cancer missed at screening through more intensive screening or alternative screening modalities. And she's talking there about women with high breast density. So very quickly, I'm going to skip over these because I put too many slides in this talk, but in an old book that I just had hanging around from the 80s, the only breast cancer risk factor information there was about fat, obesity, and high-fat diets. Moving to the 90s, the book I had at home, it was sent for free by my health insurance company, just listed the five risk factors, a very short list here, things that most women are quite familiar with. Especially, I hear, as an environmental epidemiologist, I'm always hearing, I have breast cancer, but I don't have any of the risk factors for breast cancer. And I can see people nodding. But there's, you know, it is hard to, it's a long list, and it's hard to shorten it in a usable way. So most recently, I just took a quick look at state health departments. Of course, there's 50 states. I found 30 states that actually had listed breast cancer risk factor information on their sites, and only two actually had a list of breast cancer risk factors that included breast density. That's not very good. Here we are in 2007. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, so it was around that time I got kind of perturbed by this issue and why there wasn't more information about it out there. And I could do my personal story, but in this short time frame, I could get too long-winded on that, so I didn't. But so by 2007, there did start to be some much more attention, I'd say. And of course, I was looking then too, so. But when I went back into the archives of the New York Times, this is the article I found. I think there may have been others. But so in 2007, we hear breast density and high levels of circulating sex hormones are independent risk factors for breast cancer in postmenopausal women, a new study finds. So it's a new study, so it's in the paper. And also in 2009, Connecticut passed a law that required radiology reports to actually include information about breast density. And I don't know any of the details of this. Maybe some of you do. And currently on the New York Times website, there's actually some very good information about dense breast tissue. It's a link, but it was very well done and short summary, which I'm not going to repeat, but the bottom line in the last sentence is, in addition, dense breasts make mammograms more difficult to read, which increases the likelihood of missing early signs of cancer. It's actually not even early signs of cancer. I mean, high density can prevent the diagnosis of a pretty large tumors. that's my personal story, is that it was not a small tumor. So I'm just getting nervous because I'm getting to my punchline. It doesn't bother me to talk about breast cancer. Some literature claims that ultrasound is the appropriate next step screening tool. We've also got studies looking at digital mammography for better estimation of percent breast density. Certainly MRI is a much better tool, but much more expensive, and it's not a first-line tool. And they're developing technologies as well. And again, this is not my, I have not looked in depth at the debates about screening recommendations, but currently the American Cancer Society lists heterogeneously or extremely dense breast on mammography as that's in the category of insufficient evidence to recommend for or against MRI screening. So I'll just leave this one up there while I drink. So I submitted this abstract to this session because breast cancer is primarily a women's disease still. There are some male activists I know around the issue, but so is it possible that male-female distinctions, culture, sexist attitudes, discrimination continue to affect breast cancer research and translation into action? And I don't have the answer to this. There's also other things that happened with the history of this particular, studying this particular issue, I think that led to some resistance against believing this was really the case, that dense breast tissue actually itself increases breast cancer risk, because there's the problem of masking. I referred already to how difficult it is to study something that's difficult to find. So, but if the whole issue of the density of breasts is somehow just going a little farther into women's bodies than some people are comfortable with, is that perhaps affecting the lack of attention to this issue? I don't know. But of course, it does matter that most women don't know about this, because we know the importance of women's knowledge in terms of informing the breast cancer activist movement in this case for bringing attention to issues and making important changes in terms of how the this disease has been, it's really a resource question as much as anything. So, breast density, largely genetic, is not a modifiable risk factor, but its effects can be attacked by more intensive screening and improved screening techniques. It seems to me a very straightforward point. And the very simple step of a woman reminding her doctor to make sure the radiologist reports breast density from her mammogram is a very inexpensive and straightforward step. And going even further than that, now with these controversy over screening recommendations, I think some women at least are more aware of the problems or issues regarding the limitations of mammography. So it seems like a good point in time to be willing to admit the limitations of mammography, and particularly connect that with the issue of breast density. And I think this is my final point. Attention to breast density and the need for moving beyond mammography for this identifiable high-risk group may be the road forward for reducing breast cancer mortality and moving beyond what mammography has been able to do. And I attended a session, I think it was the first day, that really helped me hone my final slide here, because it was a really good talk on the limitations of mammography. So I think these are pretty obvious. We need to alert women and providers to the need to check mammograms for density level, more frequent and adjunct screening methods for the approximately 8% of women in the highest density category, and perhaps the 30% of women in the higher than average category as well, and better risk factor information and communication strategies for all women, not just the readers of the New York Times. And that's a very big point. So, and there's my contact info. Thank you.